Hello, everyone. Welcome one, welcome all to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. My name is Tyler Carter.
My name is Cody Vanciello.
And Cody, it is finally here. The season is finally here, man. This is something that we've been waiting for. I've been waiting for since basketball season. It's wild, man. We're finally here.
Yeah, I mean, after the last game for basketball, I mean, you just turn the athletic calendar and then boom, you're here for another season of cycle football. And this is another year of it being a little more special than it was, because last year, the 2023 football season, was the 100th anniversary of Jack Trice. And we obviously had the Jack Trice legacy game last year. This year is going to be the 50th anniversary of Jack Trice Stadium itself. So talk about back-to-back years of a more special season for cycle football than usual.
Yeah, man, let's hope that we have just a lot of celebrations and celebrating some dubs. As you know, we're playing the North Dakota Fighting Hawks, University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. So I thought that we would bring somebody on who knows well about them. We have Evan Hawks Talk with us. So, hey, Matt, Evan Hawks Talk, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man. So just tell us a little bit about North Dakota and what we should expect from them.
Honestly, this year, it's really hard to answer that question because there's a whole lot of new. We had a long-term offense coordinator that left. He went down to South Dakota State, actually, to take the same position. Our starting quarterback of the last four plus years because of COVID and all that, he transferred to Michigan State. He's going to back up Aiden Childs, I believe, is the starter there, but he's from Michigan, so backing him up there. And yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how our new offense coordinator, what he has for us. It sounds like we're going to be running no huddle. And our defense, I don't know. Hopefully it's better than last year. That's all I know.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. And then I also saw that you guys got 38 new players from the transfer portal. That's like a lot. That's a lot of attrition from your roster.
So I think that's actually combination, just 38 newcomers.
Okay.
Including freshmen. Yeah. We did get quite a few transfers. We also got hit by the transfer portal pretty hard, too.
I figured you would at the FCS level with, a lot of, even in, just even some, the bigger part, North Dakota State and North Dakota and North Dakota State and South Dakota State losing people to FBS. And, I mean, I one of you guys' impressive wins, because I believe you guys were a wildcard team, is that you guys beat North Dakota State pretty handily last year.
Yeah, that was a fun time. That's the first time we'd beat them since, I believe, 2003, but there was a 10 to 15 year gap in there where we didn't play them because they moved up to FCS and we were still down in Division II.
Right.
But that was a good time. Fans stormed the field, and yeah.
Nice, nice. Cody, did you have anything to add or anything to ask?
Not really. I mean, I'm just very interested to see how this North Dakota team is, because although you have a bunch of new players, that could potentially be something to look out for, because not just North Dakota, but in general, with the Cyclones within in this Campbell era, it's been known that sometimes these lower tier FCS schools, they tend to give Iowa State a hard time. So I know for certain that we're not gonna be sleeping on North Dakota, but I think this game should also overall be a fun game to watch, and yeah, I'm really excited to see what North Dakota does. And I mean, looking at your guys' schedule, I'm taking a look here. Obviously, you have North Dakota State, but also South Dakota State. I'm really interested to see how you guys compete against those two schools.
Yeah, we have a gauntlet of a schedule this year. Next week we play Montana, the number two team in the nation. That'll be fun. And it's a night game, which we usually don't have night games up in Grand Forks, but I think people will be well lubricated for that game. So
I'm sure. Yeah,
we create a good atmosphere.
Yeah, we have our big rivalry game next week in Iowa City against Iowa. So the whole state's going to be tuned in for that one.
Oh, yeah. One of our four linemen that left this past year is actually transferred to Iowa.
Ah, okay. What's his name? What's
Cade Borud. I think he's actually going to redshirt this year. He was a freshman last year, but I can't remember if he was a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. So maybe he's not. But I didn't see him on the two deep when I looked at that.
Gotcha. Do you have any breakout players on this roster that fans should look out for on Saturday?
I mean, the main guy you guys should watch for offense at least, is number one, Bo Bellquist. Mm-hmm. He's fifth-year wide receiver that he's almost set all of our Division I wide receiver records, which we haven't been D1 for that long, but it's still pretty impressive. He's 6'1", 200 pounds or so, maybe not that heavy, but he's always finding space to get open. He's really fun to watch.
Great. Anybody on defense that we should watk out for, or what type of do you guys know what type of formation you guys run? Or
we run a 3-4. That's kind of what Bubba Schweigert, our head coach, has always done, and it was really good when he first got here. But these last few years, we've kind of been, I don't know, feels like we just let the offense score every time, and so our offense then has to put up points. But I guess the main guys there to look for are probably our inside linebackers, Wyatt Pettigo, number 59, mm-hmm. and Malachi McNeil, number 36. They've played a lot of football up in Grand Forks, and they've done well for us. So those are the two guys I would watch for.
Okay. Do you have any question for Iowa State, or any questions on Iowa State? We will answer to best of our ability.
I guess, if an upset were to happen, how do you think it could happen? Based on, like, what needs to go wrong for you guys?
Cody, you go ahead first.
I alluded to this earlier. I mean, Iowa State, we tend, like, there are some years that we tend to struggle against, like, these lower level football teams. And I think it just simply comes down to not being prepared. There, unfortunately, has been, like a notorious case where Matt Campbell just unfortunately does not have his guys ready to go, like, early in the year. And we usually hit, like we have, like, an early season slump, and that seems to follow us. We've actually a few times lost to North Dakota State, and nearly lost to you and I a few times, so they've given us a scare. So if you say, like, if you catch us, like, on a really bad day, like, we're not executing, like, to what we know we should be doing, and beating us in the margins, like, in the trenches, like, on the line, like, when it comes to, like, the fine details, I think that's where North Dakota State could possibly pick up an upset win against Iowa State, is if Iowa State, like, is not just, they just sleepwalk into this game and they aren't prepared, or, like, they should be, and it's been tracked over the last few years with this era with Matt Campbell.
Yeah, another thing that I'll add is that one of the things that this team struggled with last year was getting pressure on the quarterback. So that possibly could be a recipe to where if the North Dakota quarterback gets time to throw and he has time to look through different windows, he may be able to, get a few plays on this defense, even though our defense is very, very talented. But that could be a possible recipe.
Nice. It'll be interesting seeing our quarterback play. It's his first time starting, and last year he had some packages as more of a runner type quarterback, but yeah. He's a kid that in high school all he did was win, which I guess you could probably say about most talent, like D1 athletes. Right. But it'll be interesting to see how they run him, because they can't just let him run the ball constantly. He's got to throw it too.
Right. Yeah. Because if you make a person, like, one dimensional, eventually at some point in the game, so they're going to shut that down. And then the other part, or whatever their weakness is going to show. And it's going to break down. And, like, I will say, like, we do have, we're, like, top 10 in the country or top five in the country in returning production. So we basically have everybody back from our team from last year. It should be very, very interesting to see how our team comes in and responds. You've been in fall practice. All teams have been to fall practice, hitting each other. Now they can finally hit somebody else.
Sure. That's another question I have. So from afar, I'll admittedly say I don't watch a whole lot of Iowa State football, even FBS football, because I'm more focused on UND and the FCS. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a fan of Matt Campbell. But it feels, last year you guys had a more successful Big 12 conference year, it seems. But there, I think it was it 2 years ago, there was that viral video of him yelling at a fan leaving. I don't know if it was against Northwestern or something, but they were.
That was last year's game against Ohio.
Yeah, it was the same year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I can give the backstory because I've been pretty active. So basically, obviously, last year was not really a great start for Iowa State. We thoroughly dominated UNI 39 home, and then unfortunately we fell short against the Hawkeyes. We kind of tripped ourselves in the first half. Obviously Sebastian Castro had that pick six of Rocco Beck. Mind you, this was Rocco Beck's second start
right
as a quarterback. So obviously he's gonna have those jitters. And then unfortunately we did have that stinker against Ohio on, and it was really an offensive struggle from the get-go. We just couldn't do anything on offense with the ball. And it just, then after the game, you had obviously the viral clip of the guy saying to Matt Campbell, you're on the hot seat. And then Matt Campbell got heated off of it, and he had to be held back. He had to be pushed back to the locker room as the guy, pans to the camera and just smiles in his face. And then I think from that point on, something changed within the locker room. Something changed. They knew something had to change offensively, and it showed in conference play, because from then we proceeded to go 6-3 in conference play, and our only losses were to Kansas and the two teams that affected to the SEC effectively. So, overall, great turnaround, but yeah, just a lot of fans have expressed their criticism with Matt Campbell being very stubborn when it comes to opening up the playbook, and that's something we've seen with Campbell. He's notorious for not really opening up the playbook until conference play, because he just really doesn't want to reveal that much about what he has up his sleeve. But at the same time, it does cost us some of these important games. Now this year, it's going to be extra important for us to pick up that win against Iowa in the non-con, because that's a Big Ten team. It doesn't matter how you put it. A Big 12 team winning against a Big Ten team is going to look better on paper, because you've seen how the Big Ten is compared to the Big 12 in terms of the conference team. And it's just, that's just how it rolls around here. But yeah, fans have criticized him for his lack of open the playbook. But I'm hoping with Taylor Mauser as our new offensive coordinator, because last year it was Nate Shieldhouse. He went on to the NFL under the tutelage of Sean McVay of the Los Angeles Rams. But very often, hopefully Taylor Mauser is able to, Campbell kind of lets the dog off the leash and just open up the playbook more, and then we can be much better, because we don't want to have results like what happened against Texas and against Memphis in the Liberty Bowl.
Sure. I'm guessing on Saturday we'll see pretty vanilla offenses, probably from both sides, just because, this game is what it is. You guys have Iowa next week. We have a big game against Montana. We're both more focused on those. I don't want to say we're looking ahead of each other, but how it is.
No, I completely agree. I think we expect to see a lot of vanilla from both sides, like you said, because we both have big matchups the next week. And just to add on what Cody was saying, I said it in some of our, preseason podcasts up to this point. You probably know our 2021 team from 3 years ago with Brock Purdy and Breece Hall. Everybody was calling us the best team ever, and that team ended up going 7-6. So, I think for us, I think there is a sort of like a shifting, and it's part of the fan base to be to where like, okay, well, okay, we're Iowa State, and yes, we have been a historically bad program, but we want to, now we've gotten to the point where we've been making bowl games, to where making bowl games is nice, but we want more. Like the 2020 season taught like so taught this fan base that there more can be achieved at a school like Iowa State. So I think, you know, we've gotten the 7 wins. We made it to 9 wins. We made it to a Big 12 championship. We won a Fiesta Bowl, but like there's more to that, especially in this with how wide open the Big 12 is. Like there's no more like excuses for going 7-5. I think for us, I mean, Cody said we want to win at least 8-9 games a year, maybe 10. I mean, that's how like a lot of us feel about us. I know you guys are probably thinking this is probably more of a rebuild for you guys. What are you guys' outlook for your guys' season?
I mean, like I mentioned earlier, we kind of have a gauntlet of a schedule. We do have 7 home games though, so that plays to us. And the Alaire Center where we play, it's a fantastic environment. We don't lose very many games there. But I don't know. Feels like lately we've just been like a 7-win team. Eight wins and just barely in the playoffs, and then we get booted. 2014 playoff. A little different than FBS obviously, but I could see us going anywhere from like 4-8 to 8-4, whatever, however many games we have. I can't remember if it's 12 or whatever, but yeah, it's a wide range of outcomes. It really depends on how the new OC clicks and the new quarterback, and then if our defense takes a step up from last year.
Right. All right, so let's just talk about, you know, you're coming to Ames. Do you have any questions about Ames? Cody would know a lot more since Cody is currently a student here. So Cody would know a lot more about Ames. So if you have any questions, be free to ask him.
I mean, yeah, what should a fan coming to Ames, what do they need to do? What's the tailgate? What do you do Friday night? What do you do Saturday after the game? Any like recommendations? All of the above.
Yeah. Okay. So Iowa State tailgates are, like, I'll say right now, we have one of the best tailgates in the country. There's bar none. I dare say
the best
in the Big 12. Like, you go to any tailgate at Iowa State and you're going to have such a great time. We have a very great community in the town of Ames every Saturday. It doesn't matter like what you're doing. Like if there's a football game, everybody in town will show up, and it's just a very big family overall. Like, I'm talking just great food, great atmosphere. I mean, our RV lot is one of the is really big part of it as well. And then we have, of course, the newly famous bridge, like the pedestrian bridge that like it's a meme within Cyclone Twitter, but it truly is one of the best things about one of the newest things that came to Ames, like a really great thing, and just the community and all is just a really big part of it now. For like Friday nights, I mean, as a student, there's a lot of like the bar scene is really like the bar scene is gonna be a thing. So like go down like Welch Avenue, and you're gonna hit a lot of bars. Like the ones I personally recommend you go to, they're gonna be Mickey's, BNC Fieldhouse, Sips Patties, and Outlaws. Those are all like bars. They're gonna be like in like the bar scene. Like right outside of Iowa State's campus. So you go down West Avenue, you're going to see a bunch of bars, and you see a bunch of college students walking into bars. And yeah. But if that's not your favorite, then you can check out some restaurants in Ames. I mean, Sweet Caroline's is a well known one in the community, and it's a really good place to go for great food and a great time. There's a few other restaurants like, Wallabies is another good one. Jethro's Barbecue is a really good restaurant, like good barbecue place to go to. And Hickory Park as well. I mean, yeah, we just have, for how small of a town we are, we know how to have a great time. And it's just one of the best tailgating experiences ever yet. Now, you can take, like, And then the game experience itself, it's one of the best in the Big 12. I mean, we're very passionate, we're very vocal about our team because this is basically like our pro team because here in the state of Iowa, like obviously North Dakota, you don't really have pro teams. So this is kind of like our magnum opus, if you will, of sports. So we really support the Cyclones, and this is a great time. And you get to talk, like, you go around, you talk to all these people at tailgates. I mean, they'll tell you how great of a community we are. So I don't know what else to say, but we're just a really great community, and we really love, like, having people at tailgates.
Sweet. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing everybody's probably welcomes the opposing team in with open arms. Maybe not Iowa fans, but besides that.
Yeah, Iowa and K-State, don't come around here wearing those colors. But other than that, you should be okay.
You'll be okay as long as you're not, like, just, like, belligerent or just being a jerk. Like, everybody will welcome you with open arms. And, I mean, if you want, if you come and find me, you're welcome to come to mine. Me and Cody will probably be there at some point. So, yeah, come Sweet. Over and have a beer or whatever.
Yeah, I'll hit you up.
All right. Do you have any other questions? I just thank you for joining us today.
No, I don't think I really have anything other else. I was just going to also add, this is just completely random, but you guys obviously follow the basketball too, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. We're big in basketball.
Eli King, he was a freshman there, and he transferred up here. He's been fun for us.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, I get how he maybe wouldn't have worked out at the, like, your guys' level, but he's fantastic here. He's just a defensive, just every play, all out, and it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying,
that's how TJ coaches his boys, and I mean, yeah, that's just how TJ Altenberger coaches basketball, and I love the fact it's translating even to a lower level. Like,
where sure.
He may not get that constantly, but yeah, love that.
Yeah, sweet.
Well, F and Hawks Talk, hey, man, we definitely will exchange information through message on Twitter. But, man, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, man. You have a great time.
Yep, you too.
All right. Cody, that was great, dude. That was great insight on the North Dakota team. What's your score prediction, man?
I think this one, like, it might be tight, like, kind of in the first half as everybody's, like, trying to figure, like, as both teams try to figure out, like, what, like, works for them. But I think in the end, Iowa State's going to be able to pull away. So I'm thinking Iowa State should be able to win this game 42-14.
Okay, 42-14. I am going to have my score at 34-6.
Okay.
I think with this new, like, offensive line, I think we'll really get the run game going.
And that's going to be one of the keys to look out for if it's true, like, and we've been teased many years about this offensive line. But if it's true, and he actually holds through, and Abu Samad gets those running holes, I don't think there's going to be too many guys that can catch up to him and tackle him.
Completely agree. And just the fact that they have 38 new guys on the team, bro, we should be able to eat. We should be able to eat, bro. Like, I don't think there should be any sign of struggle, dude.
Yeah. It should be looking like our offensive line should be having barbecue chicken out there. Like, it should be looking like we're eating barbecue chicken.
I agree, Cody. Like, because if we escape on this, if we just barely escape by them, this reaction show on Saturday night or Sunday, it ain't gonna be pleasant, bro.
Oh no, it's not. No, it is not.
Oh man! All right. Well, thank you, guys. These are gonna be a little bit shorter. It's not going to be like our off-season shows. These are going to be more straight and to the point. So just join us every single week as we do our reaction shows and our preview shows. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Venzilalum.
This is a Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Go State.
All right.